More Idaho Matters right now. Pouring a glass of water in your kitchen isn't always easy on tribal lands. Overall, Native American families are 19 times more likely than a white family to lack indoor plumbing, and it's a big problem in our region. Emma Gibson of the Mountain West News Bureau takes a look at a project that's designed to help.
45 minutes west of Albuquerque, past miles of desert and a remote casino, is the turnoff for Tohajali, a part of the Navajo Nation. About 2,000 people live here, and no one has indoor access to good drinking water. So, over the last couple years, the nation has been distributing bottled water to the community. On a cool spring day, five people are unloading approximately 1,200 gallons of bottled water from a semi into a metal barn. Without the deliveries, most people would have to drive into Albuquerque to buy drinking water. The natural water here is from the Rio Puerco, and it's not very good.
There's just always a smell to it.
And what is that smell? What does it smell like?
Like almost like a sewer smell.
That's Yvonne Apachito. She helps run the front desk at the chapter house, the local seat of government. And today, she's moving pallets into the barn.
Just the way the water is naturally.
Yeah, that's why we don't drink the water from here. We always have to get bottled waters, even to boil water.
Residents shower in it and sometimes wash their clothes or dishes with it. After about an hour, all the water is in the barn.
There, I'm done. I'll finish.
The chapter house tries to distribute water once a month, with each household getting 5 cases of bottled water and several gallon jugs for cooking and whatnot. Usually 300 families show up. A 2021 report from Dig Deep and the U.S. Water Alliance found that, quote, race is the strongest predictor of water and sanitation access. And those living on the Navajo Nation are 67 times more likely to not have running water or a toilet than other Americans. Yvonne's daughter Rihanna works for the chapter house, too. We chatted about what it was like growing up in Tohajali.
It was hard. We had to go into Albuquerque like all the time to get water.
They'd usually make the drive to Costco or Walmart once a week. Sometimes they'd go to the laundromat too. This is still their routine. That is until a new 7-mile pipeline is built, bringing in water from the nearby Rio Grande. Mark Begay is a former chapter house president and has run its water system for decades. That's meant taking care of the community's wells. All but one, he says, has collapsed because of the corrosive water. And he expects it's near the end of its life.
It could go out any day now. And that's not the solution. Keep drilling wells. Every time that well goes out, we put in about $50,000.
He says the chapter started actively looking for ways to get reliable, clean water to the community almost 20 years ago. They caught a break in 2019. The Navajo Nation bought some water rights from another tribe, but how would they get that water from the Rio Grande to Tohajali? They didn't own the land for the proposed pipeline's route. The negotiations with landowners were hard on Begay.
I was depressed, I was upset, I lost sleep.
When he recalled that time, he spoke deliberately, pausing to control his emotions as he teared up. He said on Veterans Day 2020, he got a call from a state lawmaker.
Said, Mr. Begay, I have some good news for you. It's done. We come to an agreement. Water's going to be coming through. And I just went to my knees, and there was a great, great feeling that day. It was worth it.
Money for the project has come from the Navajo Nation, different state and county funds, and federal COVID aid. And now, project engineers expect pipeline construction to start this summer. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Gibson.
And let's stay with the Navajo Nation west of Albuquerque, where residents don't have reliable access to clean drinking water, which is an issue for other tribal communities as well. The Mountain West News Bureau's Emma Gibson continues our look at this issue as she reports on their feelings about a new pipeline that promises better water.
It is a windy morning, and dozens of residents are lined up in cars and trucks along the main road through to Hodjili.
Hello. Hi. They are almost ready.
They're eagerly waiting for the clock to strike 10 when local government staff will begin loading up their trunks and their truck beds with cases of bottled water. Tohajali roughly means dripping water in Diné, and yet water is their biggest worry.
We are in dire need with water, better water.
That's Shirley King. She's part of about 300 families picking up water today.
That we could drink it from the sink. Like Albuquerque, they do. You know, they boil water, they make coffee, and cook with it. We don't.
A 7-mile pipeline promises to bring clean water to the community, with construction scheduled to start soon. But for now, people have to drive 45 minutes to Albuquerque to buy water, or wait in lines like this once a month.
Hi, Shirley.
Still, a lot of people in line don't know what's happening with the pipeline. What's the timeline? Has work already started on the reservation? As the wind picked up, we talked about how King's water bill might change once the pipeline is finished.
I'm sure it's not going to be free. So when it comes here, I'm sure it's going to be, I don't know if they're going to put meter on or what.
Right now, it's a flat $25 per month for households to use the natural water. But a lot of households don't pay that fee, and one reason is because they aren't being billed. Folks like Cecil Atencio.
Me, I haven't paid for the water yet out here. When the new pipeline, when the water comes, it might change. The way I think about it, I think it's okay.
Nora Morris is the chapter vice president. She says the water projects department isn't staffed now. This is why bills aren't going out, and also partly why she can't say how billing may change when the pipeline is built. But she thinks residents would like it if their bills stayed at a fixed amount. And though things will change, Morris knows people are so excited for this next chapter.
And some of them are already talking about, like, they want to have their own swimming pool. And those are just dreams that they thought of, you know, years ago is finally going to become a reality.
Further from King and the waterline is Rose Ciccarello. She has plans for when clean water comes to Tohajali.
I told my husband that when the new water line comes in, and I said, I want you to build me a small storage. And I want a new washing machine. I want a dryer. And I want a shower in there with clean water, I told him.
Her husband has since passed away, but she says her sons are committed to building her that storage room for her birthday. Ciccarello has lived in Tohajali for decades and has seen water access change a lot. When she was little, her grandma used to take them to a nearby canyon to collect rainwater from the depressions in the sandstone.
And she used to save these cans, coffee cans. And there will be like a puddle of water, you know, on the rocks, you know. And there'll be rainwater in there.
The kids would scoop the water out and pass the cans on to their grandpa, who would pour it in a barrel.
And that was our drinking water, rainwater.
The next phase of Tohajali's life may bring a laundromat, a grocery store, or a gas station. All of these are businesses that the natural water has hampered in the past. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Gibson.
This story is part of a series supported by the Water Desk, an initiative from the University of Colorado Boulder's Center for Environmental Journalism. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.